couple of years ago now, I guess, I started this segment called Bridge to the Future, in which it was important to me that we highlight the stories of first-generation immigrants to this country. And instead of the negativity that we get out of Washington, unfortunately, that we really celebrate the things that they bring to the community and how they strengthen all of us by being here. And so we're really pleased. And somebody out of the school system, Irma Valdez, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was born in Veracruz, Mexico. Moved here to Rhode Island in 1999. Married, two children. I work at Springbrook.
So I'll help you along here a little bit. How old were you when you moved here?
I was 8.
And so obviously your parents moved here.
My father came here at 19, a year before we came here. My mother and my sister and I came here.
What was it, and why did your father come to America from Mexico?
So what I have learned over the years, you know, life was tough over there for us. For him to be able to build us a house that he wanted, give us the life that he wanted to give us, it was tough. So he had to make the decision to come to immigrate here. A friend of his, you know, mentioned that he was also coming, so he just kind of tagged along. His goal was to just come for a year, build us the house that he wanted to build us, and go back home. But once he was here, he realized that it would be so much better for us to be here with him instead of him going back.
So tell me under what circumstances he was able to come into the country in 1999.
So he,
or 1998, I guess.
He was able to come on a work visa, so to say. And then when we were all here in 2001, I think it was, where they had the amnesty for immigrants to be able to apply for to become residents.
Right.
So he took advantage of that. And his employer at the time really, you know, pushed them and helped them out to do that. And that's how we were able to become permanent residents here.
Good for his employer.
Yeah.
What kind of work did your dad do?
My father's a welder.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that it was difficult in Mexico. Tell me about the conditions under which you lived in Mexico.
So it's always been difficult. I mean, now it's more than ever, but, you know, it's always been people always kind of live off the land. And, you know, if you didn't have land, then you kind of have to go out and find jobs here and there. But it's not, you know, unless you have a good education, you know, if you go to college, then you can become a teacher or something like that. You might have a good future. But, you know, my father was forced to leave school. I think maybe, you know, elementary school he did. And then he had to quit school so that he could go work with my grandfather, you know, and just try to make money for the family. So he has no education. So, you know, it was tough on him. He had to do little jobs here and there. And, you know, he wasn't able to support his family the way he wanted to.
How did he learn to be a welder?
You know, I never asked him. I think just kind of being around, you know, my grandfather's friends, and I've never actually asked him how he learned, but he's an awesome welder.
And your mom?
My mother is, she also wasn't able to, you know, finish school. She's the oldest, I think, of 6 or 7. And she was forced to leave school also to help my grandmother take care of the family.
So both your mom and your dad were forced to go to work in order to help support the family.
Correct. Yep.
And fairly young. At what age?
Oh, I think my mother, she mentioned she must have been like maybe 11.
That she had to go out and work?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how about your dad? Same?
Same, around the same, yeah.
Yeah. You know what kind of jobs they had to do or they were doing?
Like, I think it was, like, planting. They had to, like, plant just tomatoes or, you know, just...
Just working in a field,
field,
basically.
Yeah, a field. So that's what they had to do.
So your dad came here on mm-hmm. a work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, is he a citizen now?
He's not. He's waiting to be 65 so that he can take the citizenship test in Spanish because
okay.
he's nervous.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he remains here on under what?
He is a permanent resident.
Okay.
Yes.
Your mom also?
Mom is a U.S. citizen.
Oh, she is.
Yes, yep. She is. Yep.
Excellent. And yep. Your brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister, and we're both U.S. citizens.
And she... How old is she?
My sister is 30. She's going to kill me because if I say she's older, but I think she's 37.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay. So she was like 15 when she came
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
How was it for both of you as you came to this country, not having been here and, I'm going to backtrack a moment. When your dad came first,
mm-hmm.
did he come to Rhode Island?
He came straight to Rhode Island, yeah.
What brought him to Rhode Island?
The friend that he came with.
Okay.
He was, you know, he had been here before, so when he was coming back here again, so he just brought him here.
So he was able to bring the family up. Are the members of the family still in Mexico?
Yes, yeah. My parents go back and forth every year. And, you know, they stay a couple of weeks or longer and they visit. My dad has still three sisters over there. My mother has three sisters and two brothers still over there. So we still have lots of family over there.
So you're all settled here all in the Westerly area?
All in the Westerly area, yeah.
Your dad works?
My dad works.
And your mom stay at home or?
My mom works.
Works,
they
okay.
both work, yeah.
You have your sister and you, you're both married?
Both married.
How many kids?
My sister has five kids.
Okay.
She's busy.
Yeah.
And I only have two.
And how old are the kids?
Mine are 8 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the range in age for your sister's kids?
My sister has an youngest is 8 and her oldest is 16.
All doing okay in school?
Yeah, they're all wonderful kids. Just being kids.
And they told you to say that.
Yes.
So your husband obviously works?
My husband works. He works at Westerly Packing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so characterize your and you work as well.
I work as well.
And you're working where?
I work at Springbrook Elementary School.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what do you do there?
I'm the parent liaison. So I communicate with parents and, you know, and the teachers. I help plan events, you know, so just kind of a lot of extra activities for the kids.
What drew you to that job? And educationally, what's your education level?
So I finished high school. I didn't go to college. I tried to go back to school for medical billing and coding a couple of years ago. Went through the program in New London, Ridley Lowell. Technical Institute. I was 12 days short of graduating and they closed the school.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you knew about it,
yeah.
If you heard about it on the news. But yeah, so 12 days before I could get my certificate, they closed the school.
So is there a way to pick it up somewhere?
No. So the credits weren't, you can't transfer the credits. So it was kind of, you know, I wasn't able to get anything from it, unfortunately.
So why was it the school closed?
I believe the owner had some investment issues. So, yeah, it was just one day they were open. The next day it was the big sign on the door, no more.
Wow. And yeah. How much money did you invest in that?
So I had took out loans, which you know, thank God, because I didn't get their certificate, I didn't have anything to prove that I finished my loans. I applied for loan forgiveness and I didn't have to pay any of it back.
Wow. But how much would it have been?
It would have been around $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But and, I mean, I did invest my gas and everything going back and forth.
For how long a period of time?
A year.
Are you going to try to pick it up or start again?
I'm actually trying tonight. Actually, I have to go take a test to do my teacher assistant.
Okay.
Because now that I'm in the school, I love it. I just love it. So,
what are your children in Springbrook?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun that you're all there together.
Yeah.
Then they have no excuse for being late.
Exactly. Well, you would think.
Yeah. Tell me how life is different here than it would have been in Mexico.
Oh, my gosh. It's so different. I mean, I look at people that I did kindergarten in Mexico, that I went to kindergarten with. And, you know, just going – the times that I've gone back and forth and just, you know, catching up with them and – I see their life, and I'm just so grateful that I'm here because
– Tell me about their lives. How is it different than what your life is like?
I mean, right now, you hear – over there right now, if you don't – like I said, if you don't have an education where you can go to the city and get a good job, you end up falling in the mix of, you know, the cartels. And that's the only way to go. It's the only way to make money. It's the only way to stay alive. So, and to keep your family safe.
So, I mean, if you're not educated in a good job, you are then prone to being involved with the cartels.
Yeah. Yes. And it's very sad. It's very, very sad. And you know, Mexico is such a beautiful country. And you know, although I'm so proud and honored and happy to be a U.S. citizen, I always tell people how proud I am to be Mexican and how I feel blessed to have, you know, both worlds kind of, you know. But, you know, it makes me sad. It makes me very sad that Mexico has such a bad rep because of everything that goes on there.
Do you think the bad reputation is as a result of the cartels, or do you think the bad reputation is being fed by some of this country's policies towards Mexico and towards immigrants?
No, you know, I think the cartels have a lot to do with it, obviously. I mean, they're the ones that are making our country not safe. And, you know, if we didn't have them, if we didn't have those issues, I don't think that we would have, you know, people here in the United States saying so many negative things about the country.
Oh, you need to be closer to the microphone. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm watching Lauren make. I didn't know whether he was doing a cheerleading thing over there.
Both.
So if you were in Mexico, how would you perceive what your life would be like?
If I was in Mexico, I would probably be either married to somebody in the cartel and just kind of sit at home and not allowed to do much.
And so here, it sounds like you have certainly found a lot more contentment and a good family life, but also opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And that's the thing about this country. It's the opportunity is there. You just have to want it. You know, you have to work hard, and that's all it takes. It's just hard work.
Are you in contact with other immigrants, particularly, I presume, others who may be from Mexico as well or from South America that you get involved with?
Yeah. I mean, I know this town, we have a lot of people. We have a lot of mixture of Hispanic people. You know, people always go directly to Mexico. They hear somebody speak Spanish or they see somebody look a certain way and they're like, oh, you know, they're Mexican. But we have people from Honduras. We have people from Guatemala. We have people from all over South America. So it's like it's a good mixture. And I know I'm not going to say I'm friends with a lot of them, but I know a lot of them through the school, especially. Springbrook is a multicultural school. We have kids from everywhere. So, and I think it's wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about the school. And you mentioned that, you know, I have to think how positive that must be for the kids if they are dealing with other children from other backgrounds. It helps them appreciate and grow.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think it's great. I think all the kids should be, you know, like that. We should have multiculturals in all of our schools. I think that that's so important. And, you know, sometimes I hear, I have a nephew at the middle school, and sometimes I hear comments like from older kids about immigration and the precedent. And it just, it's so sad because I think kids at that age only repeat what they hear at home. And I think as parents should be a little more cautious on that. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that that's wrong. But I think that we shouldn't involve our kids because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So we should just keep the kids out of it.
Do you see any discrimination of these kids in school?
Not in my school, no. But I have heard of things that happen, you know, middle school, high school.
In Westerly. What kinds of things?
You know, just kids saying things and, you know, telling someone to go back to their country or that sort of thing. And it's just, like I said, you know, a lot of these kids don't even know. They don't even understand what they're saying. They're just probably repeating what they hear.
So you mentioned that you have a nephew who has heard some of these things.
Yeah.
Tell me, it's a male?
Yes.
Tell me his reaction to some of these things.
You know, I'm so proud of him because his parents have taught him so well, and he doesn't respond. He just kind of looks at whoever is saying it, and he's just kind of like, you know, I feel bad for you, you know, because you don't know what you're saying. So he doesn't really react in like a negative way. You know, it upsets him because he comes home and he shares with his parents. And, you know, but even then his parents are like, you know what, just don't let it bother you.
It's tough, though.
It is tough.
Not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy to do that when you when somebody discriminates against you or says something.
Yeah.
To just kind of basically suck it up and not respond.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what you got
to
do.
You have to. You can't scoop to their level. You know. You can't just react in a negative way.
Do you, as an adult, have you felt any kind of discrimination or have you been subjected to any kind of remarks or activity that out in the community?
I haven't, no. I have to be honest, I haven't. But I don't know if it's because I speak the language or, you know, I don't know.
What do you hear from your parents?
My parents have, unfortunately. A couple months ago, my dad came home and he was like so in shock that he was at a store speaking to my mom in Spanish, and someone, I guess, walked by him and just gave him like the dirtiest look and like the dirtiest like stare, you know, and he felt uncomfortable. But yeah, he was surprised. He's like, I never thought that in all the years that he's been here, he's never felt that way. And now it's like, you know, it's everywhere. It's sad.
Yeah, we see that. I mean, it was a clip on TV of it was this meeting of parents in a community where I guess there had, and maybe the individual may have been from Mexico, I'm not sure, that there was some discrimination in the school. So they held this community meeting, and one of the parents, is there telling this person to go back to where they came from. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad. Like I said, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I think there's a time and a place for everything. And like I said, you don't know what tomorrow might bring. So
when you came here at the age of 8.
Yes.
And you didn't go to school right away. You were out with your dad on some landscaping job.
Yes. So it was about a year and a half after we were already here that my dad was out doing a job. And the person that he was working for, Brian Capalbo, he came out and asked me why I wasn't in school. And my father didn't know what to answer because, he didn't even know where to begin to sign me up for school. So it was because of Mr. Capalbo and his wife that I was able to, start school. And, they at the beginning, it was middle school right in the old building, the Bobcat building.
Yeah.
And they actually signed me up for the grade, a grade ahead of where I was supposed to be because of my age.
Yeah.
So that was a struggle. Not knowing the language, and then on top of that, being signed up for a grade ahead of where I was supposed to be. So it wasn't until I was in 7th grade, going into 8th grade, that my ESL teacher, my English as a Second Language teacher, caught on and realized that, I was a year behind. So they had to keep me back a year for me to catch up a little bit.
So when you entered school, mm-hmm. language being a challenge,
mm-hmm.
how did the other kids react to you? How did the teachers react? How did parents react?
The teachers were very nice. The kids were, I was the only Hispanic at the time in the class. So they kind of looked at me like, where's this chick from? But I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't want to be there. I called my father constantly to pick me up. And I would go to the nurse and tell her I didn't feel good because I wanted to go home. So it was hard for a couple of years.
Why did you want to go home? Because you just didn't feel that you fit in that class?
Yeah. I mean, I barely spoke the language. I looked different. I didn't have any friends. So I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to be home.
So at what point did it click for you that you wanted to be there in school?
I started making friends. I made one friend. Her name was Allison, I think her name was. She was so super nice to me from day one. She just, kind of like took me under her wing and, just started being my friend and started making me more comfortable. So I started to feel comfortable and I started staying in school. Plus, I think my parents got in trouble because they always could pick me up.
Oh, really? So, what kind of activities did you do in school? Did you do extracurricular activities?
No. I mean, understanding my parents' background with their education, it wasn't that they didn't want me to go to school, but, we were already here. We were already in a country where, you could work and have a better life.
Right.
So, they didn't really push my sister and I to do any extra curriculum activities or anything because, it just wasn't the most important thing in our family, I sort of say.
Well, probably from your culture, it was not – education didn't sound like it was a strong part of your culture based upon certain needs that, you had to go out –
Exactly.
A young person go out and work, and so education was not in the foreground.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what.
So now you let your kids come home early?
Absolutely not. No, and I always joke with a nurse at school because I always say my daughter better be really sick if I'm coming to get her. And, luckily she has never called me.
Tell me how you got this job at the school.
So I started as recess aide at Springbrook, and then this job opened up, and, I got asked if I was interested, and I said absolutely. So I applied, and I went through the interview, and, luckily I got it.
And so, again, explain some of the things that you do.
So I, do – I work with parents. So I communicate with the parents if they have any concerns or, you know, they need to get in touch with the teacher and they haven't been able to. So they contact me and I do my best to communicate with that teacher, and also planning events. And actually this month I'm super excited because being February and, you know, Valentine's month, and we are doing our kids have been learning all about kindness in our school. So we decided to pay forward and put together a pasta dinner at no cost to our family, to our families. So that's going to be happening next Thursday. The 27th.
Right.
Of this month. So we're going to be hosting a pasta dinner for all of our Springbrook families, and it's at no cost, you know. So I've been really going around and asking for donations from our locals.
That's great.
So, yeah, so anybody that would like to come up and donate some pasta.
And so why is that important?
I think it's important because we need to show, you know, I mean, not we need to show our kids that we love them and that we appreciate them. And I think that's what's missing from the world, you know, besides all the immigration issues and, you know, everybody. I think just we need love in this world. It's, you know, there's no love anymore. And we need to bring that back. And we need to show our kids that, you know.
So I asked you, I said, is there anything that is anything important for you to talk about? And you said, yeah, you wanted to talk about us having more understanding and not being judgmental.
Yes. 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 I mean, that's a big thing. When you go out to the store or anywhere and you see someone that looks different or speaks a different language, you know, just approach them, say hello. They, you know, just make them feel welcome. Make them feel like, you know, they're human, and it's okay, you know, it's okay that they live in a country maybe where they weren't born. But, you know, just let's just be more open to others.
It's very interesting because Keith Stokes, who is very prominent in a lot of communities, a terrific individual, and he is he's an African American, and Keith talks about how it's very important for us to have that kind of communication, to interact with people of different ethnicities on a regular basis in order for us to get to know one another.
Yes.
There's much that we can learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so important. And especially, you know, for our kids, we need to show our kids that. You don't know when your child's going to grow up and where they might not want to stay here for the rest of their lives. They might want to go to, you know, Mexico and explore. They might, you know, you don't know. And I think that if we teach our kids that we have to stay away from, you know, certain people, and we can only talk to people and talk and you know, be around people that look a certain way, and it's just planting that negativity in their heart. And I don't think that we should do that.
What can people who were born in this country learn from people who were born in other countries?
Oh, that's a good question. And I always say, you know, the people in this country are all so wonderful. But the one thing is they take for granted, unfortunately. They take for granted having the advantage of have been born in this country. And, you know, the everything that they have to – I mean, they have everything there for them. They just have to work hard, you know, and sometimes, you know, some people just take that for granted.
So I'm going to make an assumption here, I guess. So for that 8-year-old kid in America, opportunity is at their feet. And that's not necessarily fair because there are some people who come from very difficult communities where it's not so easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more difficult when you come here from Mexico, from a different culture, parents who speak a different language, and whose values are not bad, but their values are more into the land than they are into the education. And so you have to there's a special effort that has to be made sometimes.
Yeah.
And when that effort is made, and all the statistics we see is that it is far more often than not.
Yeah.
The outcome is usually pretty good.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What do you hope for your children?
You know, I hope that they grow up and that they are proud of who they are, proud of their background, and, you know, that they're just good people. You know, they're always – I hope that they just remain good people and they're always willing to help and, you know, always do it without expecting anything back.
You hope that they go on to college?
I hope so. I hope so. Although my little one says she's a rock star, so I don't know. So I don't know. But yes, and my oldest, she's, you know, she loves dancing and gymnastics. So we'll see, you know.
So the kids are involved in extracurricular
activities,
things that you were not.
Exactly. Yeah, I make it a point to always, you know, always do and show them everything that I would have hoped I had. So, yeah.
Now, your husband is from this country, right?
No, my husband's from Mexico.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yes.
So, that's interesting. And did you meet here?
We did. We met in Connecticut.
Okay.
And he's from north of Veracruz, and I'm from, south of Veracruz.
So, where did you meet?
We met in Windsor, Connecticut. A cousin of mine was having a party. He lived over there, and he invited me over. So, I went over and I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's his story? At what age did he come to this country?
He came to this country at 18. Yep. And his father had also been in this country for a few years before he came here. But his father went back. And then he has family here. He has an uncle and a couple uncles and cousins in South Windsor, Connecticut. So, then he graduated high school. And he decided to come here.
So graduated high school in Mexico?
In Mexico, yeah.
Okay. So his experience is much different than yours.
Yes.
So education was important to his family?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was important. So he wanted to come here at a much younger age, he said, but his mother wouldn't let him until he graduated at least high school.
What motivated him to come here? His family, or was that just something he decided he needed to do?
I think his family. It was just kind of like the cool thing to do, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, they just wanted to come here. And he had really, not that he didn't have needs, but I mean, he didn't, you know, his mother, they both worked. So his brother's a teacher, a professor.
In Mexico?
In Mexico. So, you know, he just kind of wanted to, you know, explore out and do his own thing.
He's working, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you share these dreams about your kids?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the one thing that I love about him is that no matter what we disagree on or, you know, the one thing that we always agree is our family and making sure that we raise kids that are, you know, good people.
How do you make sure that your children understand their Mexican heritage?
Oh, we make sure of that with the language, the music, the food, everything. Yeah, we always talk to them about, you know, our back home. And, you know, my daughter, my oldest, I brought her way before she turned one. But we haven't been able to go back because, you know, the safety issue. And we've been in process with my husband for, like, almost 8 years now. So
in process?
So because when he came here, he wasn't a permanent resident. So when we got married and me being a U.S. citizen, we have to go through this whole process to get him to be a permanent resident.
So you say he wasn't a permanent resident. He came here how? Was he undocumented?
A work visa.
A work visa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long does that last, a work visa?
You can renew it last up to like 6 months, and then you have to renew. Mm-hmm.
So what is his goal? Is his goal to become a citizen?
U.S. citizen, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's going through that process?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but we, you know, we're very happy, and he's very, he's a hard worker. He's very thankful. He's grateful to be here and, you know, to be able to have everything that he has. So.
In your position at the school, and do you ever get pushback from any parents because you weren't born here?
No, I haven't. I have not experienced that.
Have you gotten the opposite reaction that people thought there was so much to learn from you?
Well, you know, I don't even, I think they might find out if they're listening today.
Yeah.
You know, they can probably catch on the accent, but they had never mentioned anything about
I think people think asking. It must be a Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, no, everyone's been so wonderful. Everyone's been really, really nice.
And the school system, good to know, no problems at all.
No.
Obviously not if they've been able to advance you in the system.
Yeah, no, everyone's been very, very nice. Yeah.
Your kids involved in any sports programs at all?
Softball, my oldest, and my little one is in T-ball. She'll be starting T-ball in April. Yeah.
Just kind of switch gears just a little bit, because I probably would be remiss if I didn't touch on the whole situation with the schools here. You follow that, right? What's going on?
I have followed it a little bit, yes.
Yeah. What's your hope that happens out of this whole program?
You know, all I'm going to say is that I just hope that they come up with a solution that's best for the kids, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters is the kids, and, you know, that they have a nice place or a wonderful place where they can learn and that's it, and be happy. So,
And people getting on the same page and talking together.
Oh, absolutely. Just, you know, talking and just coming up with a solution that's good for the kids.
What do you hear from other people out in the community? You know, it's often we do these surveys, we do this, we do that.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's really what people hear. In conversations, what their friends and neighbors are saying.
Yeah.
What do you hear from people?
You know, I really don't talk to people about the situation. I think it's like such a touchy subject in a way. And I think everyone's just kind of keeping to themselves and talking to who they have to talk to about that, other than just saying it and have their words be, you know, twisted or, you know. So.
Any of the parents talk about it at school? Any of the school programs?
No, I mean, obviously they're concerned and they just want to make sure that we keep Springbrook, you know, up and we make it better so that we don't have to go through the same situation as State Street. But no, they're just, you know, everyone's concerned.
You talked about the programs. Tell us a little bit about the programs that you put on and sponsor. You talked about the pasta dinner.
Yes.
What else do you do? What other kind of programs?
So right now I just came this morning from yoga. We do yoga on Tuesdays in the mornings before school.
Yoga with the kids?
With the kids. So
okay.
We have one of our kindergarten teachers. She volunteers and she does yoga with our kids. And then Monday and Wednesday I do box, which is Build Our Kids Success. And
it's, what is it called?
Build Our Kids Success, and it's box.
Okay.
And it's where kids get dropped off an hour before school, and we do exercise with them. So we just kind of get their bodies to wake up and, you know, get ready for school and get all the wigglies out before school starts. So we have that in the mornings. I did this past couple month ago. We did a big buddy program where I invited our high school seniors or juniors to come volunteer for an hour after school for them, during school for us. And we picked some of our fourth grade friends with our students, and they were able to work with a big buddy. So anything, if they needed extra help in their homework or reading or just have someone to spend time with them and, you know, play with them and, you know, dance, they play basketball, and just to have some, like, a positive, positive experience in their life.
Do you ever do programs that actually integrate the different ethnicities so that people get to meet and understand who people are and what they represent?
Yes, actually, we are planning a multicultural night, which they do every year at Springbrook, and that's going to be March 25th. It's a multicultural night, and our teacher, our ESL teacher in charge of that, Ms. Malolo, she makes sure that we have food from, like, you know, represent different countries, and, you know, she plans events that everyone can do together, and, you know, music. So it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So at home you cook hot dogs and hamburgers?
No, I wish. I wish my husband would go for that, but no, he likes his home-cooked, you know, meal and his, you know, rice and beans and tortillas. And so luckily I was taught to do all of those things.
Do you find – you came here at the age of 8. He came here at the age of 18. Because of the differences in ages, do you think that you came here with a different perspective than he did?
Yes and no. I think that's the one thing. It's hard sometimes, because even though at home I was raised very Mexican, in the way, you know, very traditional, but I had both worlds. You know, at school it was like I learned everything about being American.
Yeah.
And then at home, it was like back to being Mexican. So because he came here at an older age, he's all Mexican, you know. So that's we kind of go back and forth in that. But, no, he's great. He understands.